up in a half-baked attempt at blocking the stroke. Perhaps it was something to do with doing it by the book. There was a clang, not a particularly loud one. He felt something bright and silver whir past his ear and strike the wall. Once his mouth fell open, he dropped the remnant of his sword and backed away, clutching the summoning.
"You'll be sorry," he hissed. "You'll all be very sorry."
Vimes felt himself trembling.
"Oh, give up," he said. "Are you going to come quietly?"
Once mumbled under his breath. Vimes shrugged.
"That's it, then," he said, and turned away.
"Throw the book at him, Carrot."
"Right, sir."
Vimes remembered too late. Dwarfs have trouble with metaphors. They also have a very good aim. The laws and ordinances of Unk and Morpork caught the secretary on the forehead. He blinked, staggered, and stepped backwards. It was the longest step he ever took. For one thing, it lasted the rest of his life. After several seconds, they heard him hit 5 stories below.
"What a way to go," said Sergeant Colon. "Killed by a wasname. A metaphor."
"Dunno," said Nobby. "Looks like the ground to me."
"Captain Vimes," said the patrician. He was holding the remains of the royal sword.
"Sir?"
"That sword, if you please." Vimes handed it over. Lord Veterinary examined the rusty blade carefully.
"How long have you had this, Captain?" he said mildly.
"Isn't mine, sir. Belongs to Lance Constable Carrot, sir." The patrician turned the blade over and over slowly, staring at it as if fascinated. Vimes felt the air thicken, as though history was clustering around this point. But for the life of him, he couldn't think why. Once arose in a world of shades. He saw the tall, cowled figure standing over him.
"Is that you, brother doorkeeper?"
he ventured. The figure reached out.
"Metaphorically,"
it said. The librarian looked down at the splayed body of Wants. Then he reached down, very gently, and prized the summoning of dragons from the stiffening fingers. He brushed it tenderly. He carefully pulled another book from among the rubble.
"Keep it," said Vimes behind him. "Take it away. Put it somewhere."
The orangutan nodded at the captain. He tapped Vimes gently on the kneecap, opened the summoning of dragons, and silently passed the book up. Vimes squinted at the crabbed writing. "Yet dragons are knotty like an unicornies, I willen. They dwelleth in some realm defined by the fancy of the will. And thus it might be that he whosoever calleth upon them and giveth them their pathway unto this worldy, calleth their only dragon of the mind." "A realm of fancy," Vimes thought. "That's where they went then, into our imaginations. They're your own darkness given shape." Vimes handed the book back to the ape.
"If I were you," he said, "I'll put that somewhere very safe, and the Book of the Law with it. They're too bloody dangerous."
Vimes stared down at the big, mild face.
"Tell me," he said. "I've always wanted to know, is it better being an ape?"
The librarian thought about it. He said.
"Oh, really?" said Vimes.
It was next day. The room was wall to wall with civic dignitaries. The patrician sat on his severe chair, surrounded by the council. Lady Sybil Ramkin sat off to one side, wearing a few acres of black velvet. Vimes marched the rank to the centre of the hall.
"Now, men," said the patrician, leaning forward, "we have heard some remarkable accounts of your magnificent efforts in defence of the city."
Vimes let his mind wander as the golden platitudes floated past.
"Token of our gratitude," the patrician finished, sitting back.
"Pardon?" said Vimes.
"I said
We have been trying to think of some suitable recompense, Captain Vimes. Various public-spirited citizens feel that an appropriate reward is due. Vimes still looked blank. Reward? He said. Really haven't thought about it, sir. There was an awkward pause. Eventually, Colon stumbled forward.
Permission to speak, sir?
He muttered. The patrician nodded graciously. Said the sergeant.
Thing is, saving your honour's presence, we think... The thing is, we reckon we're entitled, if you catch my drift.
Do go on, said the patrician.
Right, sir. Well, sir, first, it's the wages.
The wages? Said Lord Vetinari. The sergeant raised his head.
Yes, sir, he said. $30 a month? It's not right. We think a basic rate of... $35 a month, with increments as per rank. We thought... $5?
That's... it? Said the patrician. Nobby whispered in Colon's ear and then darted back.
There was another thing, Your Reverence, said Colon.
Ah, the patrician smiled knowingly.
There's... the kettle. Errol et it.
I want to be clear about this, the patrician said coldly. Are we to believe that you are asking for a petty wage increase and a domestic utensil? Carrot whispered in Colon's other ear. Colon took a deep breath.
I suppose a dartboard would be out of the question.
The thunderous silence that followed was broken by an erratic snorting. Vimes' helmet dropped out of his shaking hand. His breastplate wobbled as the suppressed laughter of the years burst out in great, uncontrollable eruptions. He turned his face to the row of councillors and laughed. And laughed until the tears came. Nobby craned up to reach Colon's ear.
"I told you," he hissed. "I knew a dartboard would be pushing our luck. You've upset them all now."
"Dear mother and father," wrote Carrot, "you will never guess. I have been in the watch only a few weeks, and already I am to be a full constable. Captain Vimes said the patrician would follow my career with special interest. Also, my wages are to go up by $10. Please find money enclosed. I am keeping a little bit by, though, because of Reet. Sergeant Colon has been telling me about how to start courting, which is very interesting and not at all complicated, it appears. I arrested a dragon, but it got away. I am as happy as anyone can be in the whole world. Your son, Carrot."
Vimes knocked on the door nervously. An effort had been made to spruce up the Ramkin mansion, he noticed. To his amazement, the door was eventually opened by an elderly butler.
"Yes," he said.
"Captain Vimes, City Watch," said Vimes. The man looked him up and down.
"Oh, yes," he said. "Her ladyship did say, if you like to come in and wait in here."
Vimes wandered aimlessly through a mahogany archway. It was a dining room, containing the kind of table where the people at the other end are in a different time zone. It was laid for two.
"Ah, Captain! So nice of you to come."
Vimes turned around slowly, without his feet appearing to move. Lady Ramkin stood there, magnificently. Vimes was vaguely aware of a brilliant blue dress, a mass of hair the colour of chestnuts, and a slightly anxious face that suggested that a whole battalion of skilled painters and decorators had only just dismantled their scaffolding and gone home. In a sort of dream, he allowed himself to be ushered to a seat. He must have eaten, because servants appeared out of nowhere with things stuffed with other things, and all the time Lady Ramkin talked in a bright and brittle way about the size of the house, the responsibilities of a huge estate, the feeling that it was time to take one's position in society more seriously. Vimes felt outflanked, beleaguered. "Where do you think they've gone?" he sallied.
"Where... what?"
said Lady Ramkin, temporarily halted. The dragons. Errol and his... his Fimo.
Oh, somewhere isolated and rocky, I should imagine, said Lady Ramkin.
But it... she's a magic animal, said Vimes. What'll happen when the magic goes away? Lady Ramkin gave him a shy smile.
Most people seem to manage, she said.
She reached across the table and touched his hand.
Your men think you need looking after, she said meekly.
Oh, do they? Said Vimes.
It's a million to one chance, said Lady Ramkin, but it might just work.
She smiled at him. And then it arose and struck Vimes that, in her own special category, she was quite beautiful. This was the category of all the women in his entire life who had ever thought he was worth smiling at. And she'd opened her heart. And if you let her, she could engulf you. The woman was a city. But how did you start? She seemed to be expecting something. He shrugged, picked up his wine glass, and sought for a phrase. One crept into his wildly resonating mind.
"Is looking at you, kid," he said.
Corporal Nobbs and Sergeant Colon lounged in the shadows near the mended drum, but straightened up as Carrot came out bearing a tray. Detritus the Troll stepped aside respectfully.
"Here we are, lads," said Carrot. "Free pints on the house."
They drank thoughtfully. It was a moment of supreme peace.
"What a time, eh?"
said Colon contentedly. The others nodded. Yesterday seemed like a lifetime ago, even now.
"If I never see any bloody king, it'll be too soon," said Nobby. "I don't reckon he was the right king anyway," said Carrot. "Talking of kings, anyone want a crisp?"
"There is no right kings," said Colon.
"No, but I mean, there's nothing special about having an ancient sword," said Carrot, "or a birthmark. I mean, look at me, I've got a birthmark on my arm."
"My brother's got one too," said Colon, "shaped like a boat."
"Mine's more like a crown thing," said Carrot.
"Oh, that makes you a king then," grinned Nobby. "Stands to reason."
"And I've got this sword," said Carrot.
He drew it. Colon took it from his hand.
"It's a nice sword," he said thoughtfully. "Well balanced." "But not one for a king," said Carrot. "King's swords are big and shiny and magical."
Colon had momentarily been lost in a little world of speculation.
Real kings had shiny swords, obviously, except maybe your real king of, like, days of yore.
He would have a sword that didn't sparkle one bit, but was bloody efficient at cutting things.
Just a thought.
"Kinging's a good job," said Nobby. "Short hours."
Yeah, but not long days," said Colon.
He gave Carrot a thoughtful look. Carrot drained his pint.
"It's not the kind of thing for the likes of us,
he looked proudly.
"Guards."
"You all right, Sergeant?"
"What?"
"Oh, yes,"
Colon shrugged. "Maybe things turned out for the best."
"Best be off," he said.
"What time was it?"
"About 12 o'clock, said Carrot.
"Anything else?"
Carrot gave it some thought.
"And all's well?"
he said.
"Right. Just testing."
"You know," said Nobby, "the way you say it, lad, you could almost believe it was true."
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.